Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let us open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we look at a prayer this morning, or actually, this is not a prayer. This is the problem of not praying. And so, Father, help us to learn from the prayers to pray and from learning of experiences where a prayer was not given and the consequences that resulted. So, Lord, lead us and guide us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we're looking at the book of Joshua today, and in chapter 9, and we have the third in a series of failures by the new nation of Israel as they're going into the promised land. The first failure, of course, was at Jericho, where Achan took the accursed thing and where they relied on their strength, thinking that they took Jericho, therefore they could go to Ai secondarily and take that without any trouble at all, and they got whooped. So the issue there was they didn't pray either, and they were relying on their own strength. And so now, shortly thereafter, they do go up north to Shechem area, and then we read in chapter 9 that it came to pass when all the kings who were on the west side of the Jordan heard of the victory at Jericho and Ai, and the fact that they had already beaten the kings of Og and Sihon, they began to gather together. But it's very amazing what the Lord uses for good, even though the enemy means it for evil. So as these time after time, as these kings gathered together, they would gather the various cities into one fighting unit, and then making it very easy for the Lord leading Israel to wipe them all out at once. They didn't have to take them each one in their own city inside the wall. They all came out, and that was the end of it. When's the last time you saw the Lord turn evil for good in your life? I'm sure you have, and I'm sure you will. Well, we want to look at prayer today as we are in this prayer meeting, and we want to look at a very familiar hymn. The words are at the top of the first page of your note. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And particularly take note to every time you sing, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Taking it to the Lord in prayer. Sing along or just listen and meditate, whichever your preference is.
Thank you.
So you know the story probably with the Gibeonites, and so they did not join other villages. They just decided on their own to go into deception. And deception is one of the strong suits of Satan. We know that. He's always transforming himself into an angel of light and those kinds of things. And the walls of Jericho, you could see pretty clearly, and you knew you had to trust in the Lord to take those down. And then that kind of represented the world, I think. And then I, the next battle, it was more like the flesh. It was kind of like a smaller enemy, not the whole world, but still very pesky. And if you don't have it under control, it will defeat you, the flesh. And now we kind of get to the deception aspect here. And we see that they really started to, Satan and the workers of iniquity and so forth are very clever. And notice how many of the senses they will use here in this deception. They're going to use the sense of sight, right? Because they're going to dress up and look like they had come a long way. So when you see them coming, you see, oh man, alive, look at that ragtag outfit. Man, their clothes are all in tatters and they're just a mess. So that was the sight. Then there was the smell. I'm sure when they got there, you could smell them. And they had moldy bread, which we'll see in just a moment. And then thirdly, there was even the taste aspect of it. And then, of course, there's the hearing. There's the hearing of their story. And one of the things that they put in the story very cleverly is they are talking some God talk. And how easy it is for us as believers to let our guard down with God talk from the enemy. Because we say, oh, yeah, they're... And I can just see even in this whole deception with the Gibeonites and with Israel, there probably was a component in there that, they thought they were really, in a sense, being evangelists. They were opening up their hearts to this wayward tribe, whoever they were, where they came from. They came this long distance and they want to worship our God. And so we want to, we want to help them all we can. But they took their eye off of the directive the Lord had given them is make no covenant with anybody, wipe them all out. But they took their eye off of the Lord, didn't they? Then the people, they give them this long story. When we left, this bread was hot from the oven, but now it's all moldy. And when we left, the wineskins were new, and now they're all rotten. And we left, our clothes were good, and now they're in tatters. When we left, our shoes or our sandals were in great shape. Now look at them. So every place you looked, this is great. But you see, Joshua had a little hiccup in his peace. He sensed there was something wrong. The one thing I want you to take with you today out of this study, if nothing else, I mean, obviously, the Lord is awesome and we need to pray. That's the whole overlying thing. But the fact that when you lose your peace, spiritually get a hiccup, that is really the time to pray. He lost his peace. So he said, well, where are you from? And, he knew something, he didn't sound quite right. But then he starts to communicate with the enemy. When you communicate with the enemy, you're going in the wrong direction because you're going to be building bridges there with that enemy, even though you're not even aware of it, and you start to buy into their deception. Joshua and the leaders all bought into it, didn't they? And they saw all these things. And then this one verse is really very telling here in a sense in verse 14, and what we read there is, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions. Now that word take can mean to inspect, examine, receive, but and there's a lot of different suppositions. Did they actually taste the bread? I doubt if they tasted old rotten bread, but they probably would have, maybe grabbed a hold of it and felt it, so you got the sense of feel there too, and say, yeah, this is moldy bread, all right. Smells moldy. Maybe they would taste it, I don't know. But and they just got taken in by this, and everywhere they looked in this story, it seemed to make sense. You'll notice the Gibeonites didn't mention the taking of Ai and of Jericho, because that would have been something that would have happened when they were on their way, and they wouldn't have known about that, so they conveniently omit that, or not conveniently, but all part of this whole deception here. And so here's this deception now. And so it says then that the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They did not pray. They did not seek the Lord's will. How many times do we have to do that before we learn? They apparently had to do it quite a bit, because this is already the third time in a row they've blown it, really, isn't it? And I can see the people getting upset with the leaders. I mean, so we have a certain amount of tolerance for poor decisions, I think all of us do. But for when Christian leaders, or leaders in are your leaders in the church and so forth, when they don't pray, that's like unforgivable, really, because we need to pray, don't we? And so whoever you're with or wherever you're around, if you're spending all your time giving them good advice, that's maybe you think you're doing a great thing, but what you really need to do is to be praying for them and have them pray for themselves. You know, I'm just kind of amazed. We have some people here, and there may be, you would put them a little bit on the needy side, I don't know how you would describe them, but they come forward every Sunday for same prayer. And often I say, have you prayed today about this? No. I said, well, why don't you pray? Well, I want you to pray. Well, I'll be glad to pray for you, but there's no reason to go through somebody. There's no reason to go through a pastor. Pray directly. The way's been opened, right? Access has been paid by the price of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God wants you to pray directly to Him. And pray, get others to pray for you too there. That's all good. But if that's all you're doing is getting others to pray for you and you never pray yourself, you're only getting the, you know, a tiny little candle on the cake. You're not getting the cake at all, are you? I don't think so. They then, without praying, made this covenant of peace with them. And in 3 days then, they go over the hill, and there's Gibeon, their home. And now Israel realized they've been had. They've been deceived. But they had made a covenant in the name of Almighty God, so they stood by that covenant, and I think that's what the Lord would have wanted them to do. They then were not killed, but they then became slaves, woodcutters and water carriers, in a sense, forever, as far as that went. And we still see some remnants of them, I think, in the Nethinim all the way through the Old Testament. So when you get taken, then what is your response? You fail to pray, now you get taken, now what do you do? Well, I think you've got to be honorable to your word. If you've made a covenant, even deceived, and you pray about it, do I keep this or do I not keep it? And the Israelites chose to keep the covenant because they didn't want to go against God. We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, in verse 19, therefore we may not touch them. So that was Israel's decision, and I think it was good. Now, a little later on, as we go, maybe another... let's see, Joshua, that's about 1,500. You go on another 500 plus years till King Saul comes onto the scene, then he incurs the wrath of God by putting a bunch of the Gibeonites to death. And there's a famine caused in Israel because of that. And David then had to, after Saul was gone, David had to take action. I think there are five of Saul's people were chosen to be executed in payment, in a sense, for that. So God even protected the Gibeonites all the way through, even to the time of Saul, it would seem like. So we want to go to prayer, but we want to remember as we pray, always to pray, and when you have a loss of peace, spiritually speaking, or your something isn't right with this. If it isn't right with this, it should really give you a spiritual check. And when that happens, you really need to be double vigilant and pray and not be deceived and not try to fall for the enemy if they start mentioning a few things about Jesus and about God. And, you know, I believe in Him and I believe in that. Now, they may not. But if you've got deception going on, the Spirit will let you know, right? Well, Father, we thank You for this incident, and we thank You what it teaches us, and may we be quick and sure to come to prayer, to take counsel of You, Lord, before making any decision, even before answering any question, Lord. May we be in a habitual situation of always taking it to You in prayer. How do I answer? Give me the truth. Give me the words, Lord. Always. So guide us now as we have this time to pray. And lead us by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.